and knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door, and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today, yet again, for another week, is my cousin Cameron. Cameron, it's great to have you back on the Regal Beagle Podcast.
So good to be back. Hi, everyone. Hi, Regal Beagle. So good to be back.
Okay. I was expecting your usual catchphrase, like, hey.
Was that my catchphrase?
Yeah, for like 3 or 4 episodes.
No, I think it was I'm back, wasn't it? I'm back.
I'm back. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You didn't do that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like other people use that catchphrase too.
Like Jack Nicholson?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it was good. It was good for a time. I think it served its purpose.
What did you just say now?
I don't remember.
Right.
Roll the tape.
Oh my God. You're making me do a little bit more editing there.
Yeah, sorry about that. You don't have to do that. You can edit this out. You can edit this out too. What did I say? I said it's good to be back. I think that was it, which was also as generic and lame. So I'll work on it.
Okay. But I'm glad you're here. It's season 6, episode 15, Made to Order, aired January 26, 1982, directed by Dave Powers, written by Laura Levine and Don Nickel. Cindy returns to the show to be the cleaning lady for the kids, and all chaos ensues. Cameron, what did you think of Made to Order?
Oh, man. I thought the show was getting better. This episode was brutal. What happened? This is like season 1, season 2, maybe season 3 levels of like unwatchability. I couldn't get my head around this episode. There was no point to it. It didn't need to exist. It was nothing. It was just nothingness in the history of television. It was something that happened but nobody remembers except you.
I have to agree with you. This was a terrible episode. It's terrible.
I was so scared for. I thought maybe you had given me the. Okay, that holy.
No, I.
Nothing says how bad this was as much as the amount that Cindy was featured in the episode.
Couldn't agree with you more.
I think from the beginning of Cindy's existence on this show, very quickly I associated Cindy with. Like very, very poor episode. Cindy equals bad.
Wow. That's a line. Oof. I don't know. I'm not there with you, but I get it. I know where you're coming from.
Every time. She gets me every time. As I was watching this episode, I was interacting with it in a way, but I was screaming at the television. Every time Cindy did something dumb and annoying, I would be like, no, Cindy, what do you, no. I didn't want to see her on the screen. It's so bad. Oh.
Yeah, no.
And it made it worse that she was like the sort of linchpin to this whole, like, paper thin plot, whatever that was happening in this story. Oh, God.
It was so paper thin, it didn't even connect properly. The story had so many holes in it. It was terrible.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I wasn't really intimidated by the big thug guy, Joey.
Yeah. He seemed like
he didn't strike me as somebody that would, scare anyone. He just looked kind of goofy.
Yeah. A goofy, tall guy.
Also, $250, I guess, was that in 82? Was that was like, what is that like today?
Yeah, I don't know, but I got to assume with inflation, maybe $750. That's a lot of money, man.
It was to fix a car and then a present for her mom. And I don't know. It's just, this was, I'm glad we're on the same page here. And, I don't know what this says for the remaining 2 seasons of the show. But I mean, this was a pretty bad, I couldn't think. And also, again, no Furley automatically brings the episode down a few notches every time. Like, it could only reach a certain ceiling without him.
There's so many holes in here. I just want to point out the biggest hole, which is when the girls go to confront Larry at the Regal Beagle.
Yes.
Larry denies the $250 in front of the Joey guy who he has to give it the money to, and then runs back to their apartment to ask for the money. So I don't understand. If you had just said, yes, Jack's got the money, let's go over there right now and get it.
I think the timing was there because he denied having the money to Janet and Terry so that they he denied it to the guys because he didn't want to pay in front of Janet and Terry, and that served that purpose.
Why?
So that the girls, but I think after that there was further threatening where Joey was like, if you don't have the money in 30 minutes, I'm going to break your favorite bones. And I think that was when he was like, oh shit, like I guess I better find this money. So the money I was pretending not to have, I have to have it now. But what baffled me the most, speaking of holes, was how did Joey know where to go to find
Larry?
He rolled into the kid's apartment. Did I miss something?
Right. Right. No, that's crazy that he would go straight to the kid's apartment rather than Larry's if he had an address.
That was the biggest hole to me, because if he had an address, he would go to Larry's. And it wasn't even him that was asking for the money. It was his brother, Marty.
Yeah. And that was another hole for me that I saw.
Why wasn't Marty there? I don't know. It just was like, this was, oh my God.
And also, we're in L.A. We're in L.A. What is this like farmer cowboy walking into this bar doing? I just didn't make sense. He's like a total farmer cowboy.
Total. Yeah.
Walking into like some you know, downtown L.A. bar. It just
they're watching the Lakers game.
That was another thing. They go into overtime and then they turn off the TV. Mike, the bartender, turns off the TV after the Lakers make it into overtime. And then the whole crowd disperses.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not a big sports guy, but I know that's a big no-no.
Yeah, if the game goes into overtime,
you got to finish the game.
Okay, there's a break. There's got to be a commercial break. The coach
calls
timeout.
But you don't turn off the TV.
You don't turn off the TV.
Yeah, you don't turn off the TV.
And then it was also weird that the kids like split chore. I mean, they act like children with the chores.
Yeah,
and
that was the whole maid device was, oh God, oh, it just, everything just felt so, it just felt so bad. It just felt, I don't know. It felt like everyone had just given up and it was bad. It was really bad.
The only redeeming thing about the show, because it gets labeled as, you know, very sexist, misogynist show, was Terry and Janet were going to a lecture on sex. Do you remember
that? True. I do remember this. Yes.
And it was a lecture on how women have been debased and belittled for the past 30 years, which I thought kind of showed that, you know, the girls are there to act as a conscience for all the misogyny and the sexism that goes on in the show.
Which is rampant. Yes.
Which is rampant.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. You know, a thought just struck me is, you know,
as you were reflecting on how bad the episode was.
Yeah. Well, you know, having you on.
Oh, okay.
The end game here is to, by the end of the series, I would have turned you into a full-blown Three's Company fan.
Oh, okay.
And it seems like you are turning the tables on me with this episode because you're right. I'm losing faith. This is terrible. This is a terrible episode. But I'm going to win.
Wait.
No, but I'm going to win.
Hold on. Let's just everyone sort of pause for a moment.
Yeah.
Wait. Did you just say that you're losing faith in the show?
Well, just because, I mean, this was so terrible.
Are you saying that perhaps when you started this podcast and these visions and aspirations of turning the world into Three's Company's fans, bringing in people to talk about it, now having a different perspective and not just your own watching the show at home alone, but hearing what other people have to say about it, potentially opening your eyes up to things you missed the first 20 to 50 times you watched the episode, that perhaps, just perhaps, the show is not as good as you thought it was.
I'm not going to cop to that. I mean, I don't want to admit that. So I'm just going to like barrel through this. Okay. And last few episodes we've discussed have been really, for the most part, terrible. And maybe it's because Terry hasn't found her footing yet. Cindy keeps coming back. Furley isn't in every episode. You're right about all these points you're making. But I don't want to bring any guests on. I want you to come on because I'm going to stick to my program, which is now not a secret program anymore. It's out in the open to turn you into a Three's Company fan because I'm sure this season gets better, man.
Well, made to order is not doing you any favors.
This is honestly, if every Three's Company, I will admit this. If every Three's Company episode was like this made to order episode, I would not be a fan. This is a terrible, terrible episode.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we see eye to eye.